Hey, car guys and car gals, welcome back to the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. We are excited and, man, we are crazy caffeinated, ready to have a cup of coffee and a conversation with a couple of guys that really know what's going down in the back scenes. So before we get started, once again, this is Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
This is Fred Lenartz, the subprime hero.
And we got a couple of great guests that you need to see, you need to hear from, and you need to learn from. But before we do that, check this out. Car guys and car gals, welcome back to the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. It is time for a
Car Guy Confession Session.
That's right.
We have Chris and Nikki with us, and they are going to go ahead and say something that maybe they haven't shared with anybody before. And I would like to say that they probably never shared it on a podcast before.
I only gave them a few seconds to come up because we just told them what the section was, guys. So listen, folks, what they're going to be telling y'all is just a quick story. You guys don't have to worry about what it is. Just let it out.
Planet Fitness, folks, is a judgment-free zone.
Judgment-free zone. You know, we would love for y'all to tell us a quick story about something that's happened in the past, whether it's in the car business or just life, a life experience that's either a funny blunder or something that you made a mistake, you learned from, and you move forward and you turned it into a bonus. So I'm going to go with Mr. Chris down there. He looks like he's ready to give me something.
It's going to be a fun story, but it's one from way back in the Carlitzo days. You know, we used to sell cars all over the country through this peer-to-peer system. And we knew there was some security shortfalls in it. And so we had put in systems as best possible to try and figure out how to prevent someone from frauding the system. And yet one day, despite all our best intentions, we got a call from a gentleman who just sold his car, and he had collected a check from the guy who was buying it from Navy Federal Credit Union. And so he says, "Hey, you know what? I just got a call from the police department that this car, someone is trying to title a stolen car that's my car, the car I just sold." So we're like, well, that's weird. Well, you know, let's just, did the check go in your account? It's a cash check. So he said, well, yeah, everything seems to have gone through. And so we figure, you know, something odd, but whatever. And the next day he goes, "Oh yeah, actually it bounced." So then we're left scrambling. So we said, okay, first thing, we're just going to wire you the money. So worst case, you're made whole. And then let us figure out what on earth has happened. And so it turns out that there was a gentleman who bought the car who had forged his ID. So then he had also forged a cashier's check. But he had actually applied for a loan under Navy Federal under this fake ID. So he had gone through the application process. So we talked to a representative at Navy Federal saying, "Hey, is this gentleman applying for a loan?" They said, "Yes, he is. It typically takes 24 hours. You know, everything seems to be on track so far." Well, you know, and so we didn't contact them back. He simply said, "Hey, I got approved for a loan and here's my cashier's check." And we figured since everything else checked out, that sort of had worked out, and who forges cashier's checks? And so by our own dumb luck, it turns out that there needed to be a notary on this title. And so the guy couldn't actually title the car. And so he was stuck with this car that couldn't be titled in anyone's name. So he ended up flipping it to a dealership that was next to a prison. And we found the ad on Craigslist for this car that had been stolen under a fake ID that was now under a pseudo dealer next to a prison in Philadelphia. And this Philadelphia dealership also conveniently owned a notary. And so basically he had forced a notary, was trying to fire sale this car. So we called the police and we're like, "Hey, we found this car." They're like, "Okay, where are you?" "Oh, we're in California." "Well, if you don't see it, we're not coming to get it." Hang up the phone, pick up the phone again. "Okay, I found this stolen car." "Well, where are you?" "I'm looking at it." Obviously we weren't. They get there, arrive to find a notary/dealership all in one selling stolen cars, who including from this guy. And so they find the car. Obviously, they then call me back and say, "Where are you?" I go, "Oh, I'm in California, but it's stolen, isn't it?" He's like, "Yeah, actually, it's a pretty obvious case from here." Like, the guy had been doing this on a number of cars. And so now, Like, we had unearthed this crime ring of this dealership who was basically buying these fake cars. And this we found out who the gentleman was who sold it to him was actually a multiple car theft criminal who had also someone else managed to friend through Facebook of a friend of a friend where this guy had taken photos of himself in the stolen car. So like all the evidence was on social media.
Wow, that is a story.
That is a story.
We hear some car guy stories, and we've heard about, you know, fraud. We've heard about this, but that is a layered, holy guacamole. I mean, you're talking like literally stole a car, used, and I know those Navy checks. Those are hard to forge. I see them all the time, you know.
They didn't have the wrong color.
Yeah, they had the wrong color because we looked at the check and we were calling Navy Federal, and I'm like, I have a cashier's check from you. And I'm like, it's on a blue check. And she's like, we don't give you checks.
Nope, it's green. Yeah, that's wow. Yeah, that's
was it the blank check?
That was a cashier's check.
Straight check. So either way, oh, wow.
Very official. I mean, he did a good job in all these forgeries. Maybe someone who's more attuned to checking these things out. But the other thing, too, is he met the person that was selling the car. Like in this peer-to-peer space, we don't normally have them meet, but in this case, they did meet. So they went through, like, he knew the suspect, he could have described everything. And he gave out his actual cell phone, not a pseudo number. So he had his actual cell phone instead of some burner.
Criminal smartest. You know, and he probably got away with it a few times and thought it was just, no problem. I'm going to go ahead and just keep
not running. That time. Not that time.
That's like, kudos to you for catching that guy, man. That's pretty cool. Social media, what a powerful tool. So what's up with you, Nikki? You got you a little confession you could throw at us real quick?
The other dramatic story. You need to imagine, right? We just graduated from business school. Everybody already laughed at us for going into the car space because everybody was taking all these fancy jobs. And we're like, no, I think that a good problem to solve was or do something, be impactful in the car space. Mm. And so in the very beginning, we did this peer-to-peer where I would help you, Fred, sell your car to Lou. And so the secret sauce was the most annoying thing of a peer-to-peer sale is actually like listing it on Craigslist and for the buyer to not show up or show up and just kick the tire. So we developed a system where you swipe your ID and the test driver can test drive the car by himself. Think of Zipcar.
Wow. And
so that was pretty cool, we thought. But we always were worried, what happens if somebody swipes the ID and just disappears? Mm-hmm. Sorry. So we had a GPS device in the vehicle, but we were still, at some point, we had almost 100 cars sitting on the street in different areas of San Francisco. Equipped with these devices that you could just swipe your car and a card and get access to it. And so we obviously didn't sleep very well for a number of days because, like, these were not our cars. We were really worried, made this promise. And we talked to an advisor and told him, hey, we're telling every investor this is not a problem. But in reality, we were pretty scared. And he's like, why? It's not a question of whether or not a car is going to be stolen. It's the question is when and when it happens, what do you
How
do?
How many?
And we're like, oh, okay. So we go back to the office. Our office was literally a garage at the time. And we're like, okay, so I guess let's assume this car gets stolen. I guess the first thing we do is call the cops. So we'll call we actually visit the cops and told them, here's what we're doing. What should we do if a car gets stolen? And they're like, oh, it's easy. Just report it stolen. And if you have a GPS device in the car, even better. And you have all the documents, awesome. Yeah, no problem. So sure enough, Chris is at a wedding on the East Coast. I called him one day. I was like, Chris, remember that one time when we thought one day a car will get stolen?
He's like, today's the day.
I think today's that day. This guy isn't communicating with us anymore. He's been in the car for 3 hours. I can see him drive around. And Chris's like, okay, well, I'm at a wedding. My wife is pretty wasted at this point. I can't help. You need to figure this out.
Later on.
Okay.
Man.
So I tried to call him, no answer. It was really late. Next morning, I look at our GPS tracker, and he's still driving around with the car. So I tell our first employee, Brendan, let's try to find him. So we go and track him down and chase him on the highway. I think at some point he realized it's us driving behind him. And so I call the cops telling them, this car got stolen. It's in front of me. And so I thought I did everything that we planned. cop said, well, who is it registered to? And we're like, oh, that other guy. Well, if it's not your car, you can't report it stolen. We're
like, great.
But it's in front of me. He's like, yeah, but it's, you can't report it stolen. The owner needs to report it stolen. And we're like, the owner doesn't even know it's stolen.
Yeah, man.
Oh, so we still need to talk to the owner about that. Then I told the cop, hey, there's, I can see from here, the end of the street, there's a cop. Just stop the two of us. Just pull all, both of us over, and then we'll have a conversation. Like, can't do it. It's not your car. And so then, confession, we needed to call the seller and tell him, hey, there's good news and bad news. Good news is we just wired you the money for the car. He's like, great. What's the bad news? I'm like, well, actually, we're just buying the car from you right now because it was stolen. Can you sign it over to us so we can report it stolen so it's our car? It's like, sure. I mean, sorry you have to go through it, but I got my money. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, it was our car. We told the car, the cops it's parked in front of an office. They went, impounded it, and then we could go and pick up the car.
Wow. They're like, well, that's the process for getting our stolen cars back. Let's yeah. come up with something better.
Like financing, for example.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a really, really cool story. I like that one. That one's funny too, man. You guys both came out with some really good ones. I appreciate you guys dropping those out for the people to hear. Because that's a different side of the story than we hear. You know, being that you guys had vehicles, basically consigned vehicles to you, and you know, and then you have a lot of responsibility there. It's scary, you know.
Yeah, that's early days at Curlipso.
You know, you live and learn. It's just like we talk about. You always have to evolve and do things like that. So, guys, I want to thank you guys for coming on the show, for dropping so many awesome information. Oh man, anytime. I look forward to the next meeting that we have.
Be back.
We will be
in
back
in the cafe that's again, right. And one day, hopefully, you guys are actually here at the cafe at this very table.
That'll be really fun.
Yeah, having a great time.
Definitely. We're trying to meet one day and shake hands for sure
together here in the bluegrass, and hopefully we can have just a crazy big party of people getting ready for
Derby time.
So
you guys need to come out. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a blast. We'll go out and, you know, celebrate, check out the horses, and watch all the races. It's fun. It's a whole lot of fun.
It's a whole 2 minutes of fun.
Yeah. Fastest 2 minutes of sports. Yeah,
that's true.
Well, guys, you guys have a great night. I appreciate your time. Car guys, thank car gals, so check these people out. Seriously, withclutch.com. You better get it while it's still early.
Get in there.
All right, you all have a good night. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you. Forget, focus, fly.
That's right.
And keep brewing solutions.
Yes, sir.
Let's brew, everybody. We're out. Thank you.